She would wait until that hour had faded too. She would be there until the hours when the worlds touched were over once more. Steadfast as stone, sorrowful as grief itself. The dogs at her side waited, patient and faithful. Every now and again, one leaned against her, and she put a hand down to caress the silky red ears. She drew strength from them, and they gave it to her, willingly. She had no other worshippers now. She stood at the great crossroad, looking at the gate that had failed until moonset. And then, as the red fingers of bloody dawn slid across Anatolia, she turned to choose her way. As always, looking at the crossroad, she took the third way. That, then and always, was her choice. The dogs followed Hecate down. She was their goddess. They were all she had. Part 1, September, 1540 AD. Chapter 1. Near Corfu in the Ionian Sea. Benito and Maria stood together, leaning on the stern rail of the Venetian galley, looking back at Corfu. The island was beautiful, with Mount Pantocrator rising out of the sea toward the wintry sky and tiny white-painted hamlets stark against the green of her lower slopes. Maria held on to Benito, just as the magical island they were leaving clung to her, and she to it. Their lives were too entangled and confused, rather like her own. She was a Venetian canaler. They were not known for their subtlety or layered complexity of conflicting relationships, or to have conditionalities to their love or hatred. Yet here she was in a tangle of them. She loved so many. Benito, Alessia, the mother goddess's island, Corfu. Even her wintertime lover, Idaneus, lord of the dead. She loved each of them with a different part of her, and each with a but appended. And all of them wanted all of her. She felt pulled and stretched in four directions, and where would that end except in her being pulled to pieces? Benito Valdosta, former canal brat, thief, trouble in human form, son of the most notorious mercenary condottieri in all of Italy, grandson of the old fox, the Duke of Ferrara, and of late, hero of Corfu, and now its acting governor general, looked at his wife gazing back at the island they were leaving and felt both small and saddened. It was tough for a man to compete with a god and a goddess for his wife's attention. But if that was what it took, he'd have to do it. He didn't take kindly to sharing her with either the cult of the mother goddess or with the lord of the dead. But those were the terms by which he still had her at all. He'd take those terms, and having her any day over the alternative. Benito might not like compromise, but he was used to it. And now, to complicate things further, the Venetian Republic needed him again. The Republic whose justice had sentenced him to death and whose people had carried him on their shoulders. He'd have turned the summons down in a heartbeat, except it had come from Doge Dorma, to whom he owed nearly everything. And they needed him, those people of Venice, the people who had carried him on their shoulders, the solid, tough, plain-spoken canalers and sailors. Maria's people, even if she now claimed to be an islander and a Corfiote, needed him. They needed him because he had a real grasp of the evil they faced. He'd briefly seen the face of it when he had killed Cesare. "Why are you looking at me like that, Benito?" asked Maria. There was just a touch of an edge to her voice. She, too, was under strain.